This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton with Ashley Thornburg, and it's time for Main Street Eats.
Sue Balcom joins us once a week from her farm outside of Mandan, the Root Cellars Farm. Sue, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
It's soup season, am I right?
Oh my gosh, is it ever? After that beautiful, oh my gosh, there were a couple of glorious days this fall. And then all of a sudden, you know, it took a dive. And I'm thinking, well, I can always dig out my pressure cooker and start making soup, which, you know, more people are cooking at home. And it's so easy to clean out your refrigerator and make soup.
As my friend Lana says, everything soups.
That's right. Well, you remember that stone soup story
You
were a kid where the community was starving, and then all of a sudden this person put on a pot of boiling water and threw a rock in there, and pretty soon somebody's like, hey, I got a little piece of celery, and oh, I got a couple potatoes, and yeah, there's a few carrots here, and pretty soon they had a wonderful community meal. So that's my thing today, is go out and have a community soup supper. Oh, wait, I forgot. We can't. We have to do it long distance. Never mind.
It makes me think that there was a time when soup was probably a practical way to make things go a little farther.
Hey, when I was growing up, I started working at the Gackle Cafe for LaVon Deitcher. And my mother was an excellent cook. But LaVon was a magician in the kitchen with leftovers. Take, for instance, you have leftover baked potatoes. You could add those to soup. Or if you had leftover roast beef, you could start a soup stock that way. A lot of people nowadays are like big into bone broth. And I have to laugh about that all the time because it's simply soup stock, you know, like bones or not. That's what you need to make soup stock. So I collect things, you know, as I go along, like when we're done eating chicken, I save the carcass, what I trim off of beef, I save that separately because you have beef broth and you have chicken broth. Save turkey parts, ends of celery, ends of broccoli. You can save all that stuff. And if you have an Instant Pot, it takes like 20 minutes to make a pretty decent stock. And from that, of course, you can do many, many different things. And if you don't want to do that, they do have soup stock, beef stock, chicken stock, vegetable stock, if you're vegan, at the grocery store. So a couple of my favorite soups in the wintertime are tomato, carrot, potato, noodle. And then I make this vegetable soup that my mom used to make all the time when we were kids. And they're most four ingredient soups.
Well, I remember, of course, the good advertising campaign for a certain kind of soup that is everywhere and makes about a gazillion varieties. Mm-hmm. But if you turn the can around and look at the contents, it's about a third sodium, salt. So there are healthier ways to make soup.
Right. And, you know, those soups have changed over the years. There was a time when I was in college, maybe even after that, when I used to eat one of those soups regularly. And now it is like cow's not. I mean, I'm sorry, but it's so gross.
You're not trying to get a marketing job there, I see.
No. Never. Although I must say I do use them for supplementary gravy and things like that now and then. So, but that's for another show. So, okay, one of the favorites that my family, when I asked my family what they wanted for Christmas dinner last year, my kids are like, we want grilled cheese sandwiches and your homemade tomato soup. And I'm just like amazed because it is so simple. You just simply take a half a stick of butter and throw in an onion that's been chopped up real fine and let that kind of get soft. Then you put a can of homemade tomatoes in. And if you don't have some, you can certainly use the ones that you have from the store and simmer that for a little bit. Meanwhile, you heat up a cup or so of milk. It depends on whether you like it really creamy or not. Then you use your stick blender and you put a tiny little bit of baking soda in the tomatoes to decrease the acidity. because when you introduce the warm milk, it will curdle if you don't do that. So that's a very important step. But then you use your stick blender and you blend that all up till it's nice and creamy and season it with a little salt and pepper and make some really good fat grilled cheese sandwiches. And you have like a wonderful supper that took you maybe 20 minutes to do.
Well, when I was a kid, we had the tomato soup out of the can, but my mother made an incredible beef soup, vegetable beef soup. It was really, really good.
Well, and you know, it's a little difficult to get beef bones nowadays, too, from supermarkets because people, maybe now it's easier, but a couple years back, you know, it was like, why would anybody want your soup bones? But since we have a cow butchered at a meat market, I get everybody's bones. And so if you're going to use beef bones and beef trimmings and stuff, even chicken bones, chicken pieces, parts, turkeys, the best thing to do is to put the beef bones in the oven with some onion and maybe some old vegetables that you probably wouldn't eat. You know, I never throw anything away. And roast them. That roasting really deepens the flavor of your soup stock. After that, of course, is when you can put them in the pressure cooker, or you can just use a stock pot, like a big, huge pot, so it doesn't boil over. And you don't want to boil it. You don't want to boil those bones and vegetables. You want to simmer them just right under boiling. And my mother always, no matter what it was, ham parts or turkey parts, she would put in a couple of bay leaves and three allspice balls, in addition to her salt and pepper. And so I do that now also. And I don't know if it makes a difference, but I never make soup without those ingredients in them.
That sounds delicious. I just have a quick freezing question for vegetables, because I make a fair amount of veggie stock because I eat a lot of veggies. And so I just, you know, throw those
ends. Don't want to throw it away, right?
Exactly, yes. Yeah. And I used to double bag them in Ziploc bags. And then I was at the point I was making stock often enough that I was just getting annoyed. So I started tossing them just in a bucket with a loose lid in the freezer. Am I going to regret that? Do I need to go back to the bag system?
I'm going to do that.
Oh, okay.
That's an excellent idea.
Just basically, as long as they don't start to crystallize, as long as I'm making stock often enough.
Right. And, okay. You know, think about it. You're basically putting them in there when they're past their prime anyway.
Well,
and so that, as long as they're not in there and got really frostbitten, you know, we make soup often, like maybe once a month or a month and a half apart. There's not much you can do to that stuff that's already been done to it. My mom used to, when she'd make soup, she would simmer her vegetables and her chicken in the same pot. And when I left the house, she came to my house once for dinner and she's like, how do your vegetables stay so crisp? Here's the secret. You do not use the same vegetables in your vegetable soup as you do for your soup stock. So what you want to do is you want to, after you make your stock, you want to get rid of everything in there and then let it set. Now, the beauty of North Dakota is you can put that pot outside and the fat will coagulate a lot sooner than if it's summertime. So the fat will rise to the top. Now, leave that on there if you're going to store that soup stock in the refrigerator. But when you're ready to use your stock, then you want to pull that fat off of there and you have virtually fat-free stock. And it still has all the flavor. So then you want to do the, what's the French thing with the carrots and the onions and the celery? Mirepoix?
Mirepoix.
Yes.
There you go. I got the German accent on that. which, by the way, people, I heard somebody or saw a comment that was made on my Facebook page or something. And they're like, you have the perfect Plains woman accent. I'm like, what is that? It's obviously not French. So anyway, so you do the French thing, and then you can add whatever you want to make a really wonderful vegetable soup. You can add roasted sirloin steak or round steak. You can brown hamburger first before you do the onions, carrots, and celery, and then you have kind of a beefy vegetable soup. My mom used to add Mexican spices and then it was a Mexican vegetable soup. Of course, she used a lot of canned vegetables, but you know, if you can your own or freeze your own corn, beans, peas, add some kidney beans for protein. You know, there's a bazillion things that you can put together in a vegetable beef stock that is, it's just wonderful and warm. And then you serve it with some fabulous bread, homemade bread, which everybody's on board making their own bread these days. And you have really a good meal. But if you're like I am, you're going to end up eating it for 2 weeks. Because yeah. there's something about that big cauldron of boiling soup
that
stock.
You have
like,
to
well,
fill.
If I add one more thing, just one more thing, just one more thing. Now, if you're not a fan of all those vegetables, you've really got to try potato soup or carrot or squash. Those are creamy soups that are basically the same. You just brown your vegetables, your potatoes, your or your squash or your carrots in lots of butter with onions. And then you add your chicken stock and simmer that till those vegetables are soft. And then you can either puree it or you can leave it chunky. Some people have this thing about eating pureed soups that are that thick. You can season them up with whatever you want. Squash and carrot soups are great with nutmeg and coriander, cinnamon, those kinds of spices, a little bit of sour cream on the top. Soups are so simple and so satisfying. And my kids loved soup when they were little kids. So you should give that a try.
Well, I noticed in the notes that you had here about a noodle soup that there's this good seasonings dressing idea that I'd never seen before. I'm going to try that.
Oh, my gosh. Do you know what? I found this recipe on Facebook for what it was called, crack noodle soup. And in that soup, there was bacon, noodles, cream of chicken soup, chicken stock, milk, cheddar cheese,
wow.
and this good seasonings dressing. And I use it all the time now when I do noodle soup. When you saute your carrots and onions, that's when you add it. You add a packet of that, although I buy it by the carton now.
What is good seasonings dressing?
You know, like the buttermilk ranch dressing that you used to get. Hey,
oh,
people
okay.
eat
it's
that
just
stuff.
A spice mix.
Yes, people.
Oh,
well,
okay.
It used to be you couldn't buy it in a bottle. And I remember when my mom would send me to the store for a packet of that and a thing of buttermilk, that meant we were going to have that fabulous special occasion buttermilk ranch dressing. And now it's like everywhere, like ketchup. So, but yes, that adds a creaminess and a really cool flavor to a noodle soup. And of course, remember we talked about making homemade noodles, so I hope you tried that, Doug.
I'm going to. I got the new device just last week.
Ooh.
We'll see how it works.
Oh, yay! That's awesome.
I
should send you some buckwheat.
I think our next Main Street Eats is going to have to be a Zoom call with Sue giving noodle lessons, because I also have a pasta roller, so we can
cool.
have like a pasta off.
That would be so much fun. Yeah, we should do that couple of Zoom online cooking classes. Ooh, woohoo!
There you go.
We check in with Root Cellar Sue every week on Main Street Eats. Always a pleasure, Sue.
Oh, thank you, guys. I love it.
Decoded Eatbook is next.